The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct adhyamana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, I just very recently heard this really neat image for practice, and the guy, which is a lighthouse in the fog. I just love that image, and so I was kind of looking at it as I was coming down here. That I think what I love about it, well, there are a lot of things, but one is it's a reminder that what happens is that what we know gets obscured, not that there's anything wrong, you know, or that there's something that, some sort of esoteric knowledge that we have to acquire, or something we have to do, we just have had things layered on that are helpful, and that the practice is about doing what we do and as a way of allowing those layers to fall away.
Right, so it's not something that we're trying to do or understand or even get, but it's something that's already there, and we just need to be able to see it. Kind of, that's why the lighthouse in the fog image is so strong for you.
Yeah, and I also really appreciate that there is a lighthouse in that fog, because otherwise in the fog, you just walk around in the fog.
or worse, yes.
Yeah, you know, and it just felt like such a, also the steadiness, I mean, all that around the image, you know, the clearness of it, the brightness of it, the steadiness of it, and the fact that it's just there doing what it does, and our job is to, you know, somehow, engage in the practice in order to let the layers fall away so that we get closer to that light, and also, it truly just feels like my experience that there is that marker, you know.
Yeah, that there's something there out there to follow. That's our job.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, and that in a way that's its job. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not saying
exactly
when you get here, I'm going to reveal all this secret knowledge to you or anything. It's just being the light that's unobscured.
Being the light that is unobscured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard another image too of, you know, the sun is always there shining,
right,
regardless of whether or not there are clouds, and that's kind of what it's reminding me of when you're talking about the lighthouse in the fog.
Yeah.
You can always trust that that's there.
Yeah.
It's just being obscured right now, that's all. And there's nothing wrong with it necessarily, it's just that's what's there, and it's doing what it's doing, and we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
And it's nothing like we have to change or anything like that. Just trust
and listening to you reflect that too. It's also, I don't need to take the fog personally,
right,
or the clouds personally, or the weather personally. It's just how it is.
It's just how it is, yeah.
And then the the point is just to keep coming back toward finding ways to get closer to that light.
Getting go to get into the light. Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Cameron.
Yeah, I just heard that image this morning too, and I'm thinking it has been kind of resonating since then. And what it occurred to me is like if we as practitioners are kind of like sailors on the sea, you know, we get in our boat, we leave what is known or what we think is safety, and we get on this boat for an adventure into the unknown. You know, and sometimes it's really calm and nice and, you know, the sun's out. And other times it's like really big waves and, you know, you really need to have a lighthouse and a compass and things like that, the tools.
Yes.
And what I was thinking is that it's so neat because what we can do, or I should speak for myself, what I can do when the sun's out and the water's really nice, I can forget that I need the lighthouse and I need the compass and I need the whatever those other tools are that I don't know because I'm not a sailor, but I know they have a lot of them for navigating and such. That it's really important to keep in mind that you have to, you know, a lot of sailors have gotten in trouble because they start off on a really sunny day and they just, you know, like go too far and they don't know how to get back and stuff like that. So it's just really good to be reminded that practice and having the tools is really important.
Yes.
And knowing that there's a lighthouse there, a beacon.
That's, yeah. And not to get in the place where, you know, the sun is shining, I don't need any of this stuff, and then get lost out in wherever. And but to know that you have the tools available to you, and those are useful to navigate through when the sun's not shining.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know even after a number of years of practice, it's easy to think, because the sun's shining and it's really nice. Uh-huh. Hey, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm
tools overboard.
Yeah. Right. Right. Uh-huh. So I was really enjoying that metaphor in that sense of keeping in mind that it's good to know when it's sunny that there's a storm somewhere coming, and it's good to know when there's a storm that, you know, and all the metaphor works.
Yeah, the whole thing, the not only just the lighthouse in the fog, but the sailing and on the exploring and looking around and doing all that kind of stuff in life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
I got this image of, so now I can hawk my compass and buy a bigger, more beautiful sail, you know, because I don't need that anymore.
Right.
I'm all set. And just that, the freedom of structure, of restraint and religious observances. So that, you know, when I'm sailing in the sunny times, it's so easy to, like was just said, just completely go unconscious, get talked into. I don't have to pay attention to my course. I don't have to just go. And to realize that's not freedom. You know, that's what ego calls freedom. But it's the children playing in a burning building.
Right.
You know?
Just unaware of, I mean, that's not even wise. You know what I mean? Like just to hawk your compass for a better sail. It's almost like saying, okay, well, I get to this place where I'm lost out there because I don't have my compass anymore, but I have this really nice sail and I limit what I can actually do anymore. Like, I'm only going to go sailing when it's sunny.
You know. Well, and it's completely losing sight of, I'll be lost again.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Or even, you know, because it's all, quote, going so well, I don't need to have a course.
Right.
I don't need, you know, it's like so easily, even though it's not subtle, but one would identify, at least for me it is, the difference between like Edo can say that having all options open and you could go anywhere in the whole sea, that's freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good. And yet my experience is real incredible safety and freedom and joy and all those things comes from knowing that there's a path, there's a chartered course, and always staying with that.
Yeah, yeah. That is, I mean, as you're talking, it's almost like the underlying thing that there's a chart, there's a course, there's a path. Mm-hmm. And within that is freedom. Mm-hmm. And conditioning would like to say that freedom is being able to do whatever, however, whenever.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing I just saw when you were saying that is, and part of the freedom is that the course might be headed right into the middle of a storm. Mm-hmm. So, because the other place is, oh, I'm going around those storms. You know, I'm going to find out where the storms are, and I'm going to go around them. Mm-hmm. But that part of the, it feels like part of that, the path, the course, is, wow, we got a storm in the middle of that one, okay. Uh-huh. Well, here we go,
yeah.
You know, and then doing all the things we know to do when the storm comes. But mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, it's, I mean, there have been actually a number of these quotes recently, or maybe Transform Your Life, you know, so there's the one of, mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of storms, for I'm learning to sail my ship. Mm-hmm. And then there's the image of, you know, life as we all get on our little ship and we head out to sink.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And that's just part of the deal.
Right.
It's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. So to go around the storms, it's not, yeah, it's not freedom at all. But to realize I'm adequate to the storm, mm-hmm. you know, my, me and my little ship, you know.
Freedom is kind of almost like what you do with whatever is there,
yeah.
arising, whether it be a storm,
yeah.
because the path is there, and the real freedom is in the response,
mm-hmm.
not the,
yeah.
I'm not trying to manipulate things, get
yeah.
life, you know, in a particular way, yeah. get the nicer sail, or,
yeah.
you know, it's, I've heard freedom described like that as license, like mm-hmm. I get to get away with certain
That's
things.
What ego calls freedom.
Freedom,
license,
license
yeah.
yeah. You
yeah.
know, it's like, I'm getting away with certain things mm-hmm. and therefore I get freedom, but mm-hmm. what you're describing is more of,
yeah,
what freedom actually is,
yeah.
is not being tied down to certain things, being certain ways.
Yeah, yeah, and even that, you know, with the, my ship is sinking, as everyone's ship is sinking,
yeah.
you know, if we think of the physical form, mm-hmm. you know, as the ship, that
always sinking.
So even that, even saving the ship isn't the ultimate mm-hmm. thing, that the freedom is in knowing. You know, you can't even say I'm adequate to it, because who's the I? I mean, the I's going to sink, right?
Right. Yeah.
But that life is adequate to itself, to life, and so even knowing, okay, I'm gonna sail the ship, I'm gonna stay the course, and at some point the ship is going to sink, mm-hmm. but that's okay too.
Right.
You know, that's kind of a piece of that much bigger freedom, and there, it feels like there's a place in there of. Really, really, the opportunity to let go into trust, into faith, into just
yeah.
learning that I don't know, that amazing exhilaration of just being alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. being alive even as the ship is sinking.
Yeah, you just know, the opportunity to sail it for as long as it's here.
yeah, exactly. It sounds like you're describing the how of it all.
Yeah.
too. It's like it's
yeah.
not that you're going to sink your ship; it's how you sink it.
Yeah. yeah, that's funny, but it's true. As you say that, I think I've been playing with that recently of just watching the, you know, the karma storms that come and go, and the littlest things can create the biggest storm, mm-hmm. and really playing with watching on a what feels right now like a subtle level of how there's always a movement away from that, you know, some
movement away from
away from the. What feels painful in the karmic mm-hmm. storms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, believing it, or no, trying not to believe it, mm-hmm. or, you know, distracting in some way, or, mm-hmm. and, you know, if we use our image of this morning, what feels like a just almost just playing with the possibility of just sailing right through it, mm-hmm. and just letting the wind blow the ship where it's going to blow, mm-hmm. and not in kind of like, oh well, I'll blow the ship over. You know, really,
right.
Well, you know, the being the skillful sailor mm-hmm. that I am, and that, but not kind of trying to feel a certain way or trying to get something out of it, but just. Right. Kind of keep breathing and sailing right through it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, breathing and sailing right through it. And it's not going to be any particular kind of way, or it doesn't have to be. It's almost like when you're saying that, it's like we're not doing a movie of this ship sailing through where it's like, you know, everything's got to be perfect and it's got to look a particular way.
Yeah.
It's going to be whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, that's well put, because one of the things I realize is it's really the difference for me between. I think seeing the whole thing through the head, an intellectual experience versus mm-hmm. just having the experience.
Exactly.
So the difference between seeing someone else's life in the movie right. or just having this experience.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Just having this experience and having, well, it sounds like a real visceral, like real life experience.
Yeah, just here it is, you know, all its, you know, glory and difficulty and all mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
It's a great image, and I sort of have a disposition to, a karmic disposition to, I would be there going, now how did I make this fog, you know, and what can I do to stop it, just all about me, and that, you know, forgetting that there's just a lighthouse, mm-hmm. and that's where I need to keep my attention, uh-huh. you know, instead of trying to... You know, fix the fog or fix the
needed to do something
the storm or you know that are having all my attention on that. Mm-hmm. And I had I picked up the recorder this morning and there was an identity that wanted to do a little bit of grousing, you know. And I've heard enough of those recordings, you know. No, they're not really inspiring later on.
Leaf folder.
Yeah, and so I was, you know, talking to the mentor about that, and she does this thing, and I call it look here. She
look here.
Says, look here, look here, look here, you know, just, you know, and she got pretty forceful this morning, like, just stop it, you know, and it's really, it's great. It just helped me. Yeah, she's just, you know, reminding me, look at the lighthouse.
Yeah, that's exactly what was coming for me too. It was like, she's like, look here, look at the light.
Right,
rather
right.
than, gotta fix the fog.
Right, and take those, you know, it's like I have a different set of headphones in my ears that are just like bringing in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard one time that, you know, there's just this, it's as if there was this little tiny movie on the wall that's just something that you really would not want to watch, you know, just really not inspiring at all. And you get it's possible to get fixated on that and think that that's all that's happening, you know, and
it's this awful movie.
It's the whole it's just the whole thing, and it's not. You know, to just be reminded of that, to just take the attention off of that. Mm-hmm. And so
again, the experience of the mentor being like the second set of...
Yeah, just say, turn that,
Just stop it.
Just stop over here. You know, what is the experience you want? And that is going toward the lighthouse, and as was just talked about, that place of just going into the storm, you know, because it does come up frequently. Well, gosh, isn't there a kinder, not kinder, but just a softer, gentler way, you know, and I know there's, you know, and that there is really that ability to just sail into the storm with all the tools at your side, and to just say, well, we're giving it our best shot, and, you know, come what may, you know. And truly, I'd kind of rather have my ship go down in the middle of a storm, you know, than to have it go down, just kind of skirting around all the little yes. shoals of life, and then just kind of sinking in a mud hole sometimes. know. So, anyway, it's a really helpful image.
Yeah, that is very helpful. Yeah. To get perspective on it, because it's like, who's there saying that I prefer this experience over mm-hmm. this one? Mm-hmm. What is it really like when I'm actually in the storm? And
yeah, that's really alive. You know, it can be really alive and just mm-hmm. really present. And
yeah.
So, anyway,
it's like great. We're revisiting that theme of how you're going to go down. You're going down in a gusto and in a big storm rather yeah. than in a mud hole like you described. Thank you. Nikki.
What I was just appreciating about the images of the sailing in the sunny days and the storm is that you know, in conditioning world, there's one or the other, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a sunny day, no problems, or oh, this is a big storm, I gotta pull out all the everything I've got. But in my limited experience with sailing a long time ago with some friends who had a sailboat, it always starts out as a sunny day, but it doesn't almost ever end as a sunny day. So I mean, so the illusion that, well, it's fine, you know, the sun is shining, you know, if we're not there, then that moment when the fog rolls in or the equipment fails, then we're there, rather than, oh, whoops, I have to change gears, you know.
So you're saying if you're present the whole time or paying attention, it's not something that just suddenly happens, because, you know, we always start off, or frequently starts off on a sunny day, but it doesn't tend to end up that way.
Yeah, that illusion that because everything's fine now,
it will always
I don't need all those things right now, because, but I don't ever know that moment at which something will arise, and I do need to be there really fully. So, therefore, I need to be there really fully in the bright sun.
Exactly, you have to be there in the bright sun, because you don't know.
And my minute's going to change, yeah. And I my little lighthouse image lately has been the window I look out if I'm doing something in the kitchen. We have one little daffodil blooming out there, just one. And it's just so a daffodil. I mean, it's just, you know, I just look at it and it changes my whole experience, because there's nothing going on except daffodil. You know, it's just being its thing. It's just doing it. It's not thinking. It's not having to go anywhere or do anything or be anything, or, you know, it doesn't care if it's raining or snowing or sun is shining or the birds are dropping seeds on it. You know, it's just, and I just love it. I mean, and it will have its time, and it will at some point fade and it won't be there anymore. But it's just, you know, whenever I find myself off in something, I think, you know, the daffodil's just here. Mm-hmm. So I could just be here.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's like that lighthouse. It's like, remember.
Remember
the daffodil.
It's like that mentor image, too. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is true about life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that lighthouse. It's what brings you back here. It's what inspires you, you could say, or, you know, what I'm projecting onto it. Who knows what's going on with the daffodil? You know, we could say, well, maybe it does mind the cold and the rain, or maybe it doesn't mind birds doing it. But you know, you know that that's your experience of it.
And I think why it has caught my attention so much is that I've just been had so many experiences lately of just seeing how how my experience is often colored by the story I have about something. So that I'm doing something, and on one level it's just happening, I'm just doing it, and then on another level there's all this either, oh, this is scary, or oh, this is hard, or oh, I don't like this, or I do like this, it's wonderful. But that none of that changes anything about what's happening.
Right, because what's happening is what's happening. Like you described about the sailing, you know, it's bright sunny, I like it. It's stormy, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's just layered on top of that all. Yeah. But what's going on is what's going on. And,
yeah.
If you could touch into that, then...
Yeah, I have, and it's really been amazing. So just to think, okay, I'm doing this thing, and some part of me is nervous about doing it, mm-hmm. but if I didn't have the story about why it was scary, would I be nervous about doing it? Mm-hmm. It's no. Or some part of me says, well, this is really hard work. It's really hard and not fun. Mm-hmm. Well, is that my body's experience?
Yeah.
No, my body's actually enjoying this. Mm-hmm. It's good for it. I mean, it enjoys what it's being asked to do. Uh-huh. The only thing that isn't enjoying it is a story about how I shouldn't have to do anything that's hard.
Right. Yeah, that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is listening to a story about how it's hard and you shouldn't have to do this.
Yeah.
But that's not your body's experience.
Right.
It's not what's truly there when you... Because would it be whatever it is if there wasn't some sort of story about it, whether it's, yay, it's great, or boo, it's yucky.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you.
Susan.
So I've been looking at this thing that I call not wanting to relive middle school.
Gosh.
So, you know, I have someone in that age range. And she's actually doing fine in middle school. But
into early or
into, I think both,
okay.
As far as I can tell. So I could relate with this image. People were talking about my one sailing experience as well was on the San Francisco Bay. And you know, I'm not from California. I'm from a landlocked state in Texas and Oklahoma. So, but I remember it was not a sunny day that we headed out, and there was some question as to whether we should head out, and I didn't know how to sail, of course. And so I was reminded in my life today that I doesn't know how to sail, but I can take direction. My heart knows how to take direction. And so I remember them saying, why don't you go down in the whatever? And we've got, you know, the two sailors on the boat. And I just remember sitting underneath, kind of, you know, looking out, but knowing I didn't know. And that on some level, it's such a relief to just move into the moment and stay with what I know or don't know. And so back to the middle school thing, the way it goes with that is that I am required to remember I don't know and not to project. Because my head creates stories that... It's really humiliating to see myself. It's not humiliating. It's more humbling to see how ego can, like that, tell me a story and produce anxiety and tell me I need to talk to somebody about it. And the piece that I've been...
So you actually believe it and go along with it.
Right, to believe it and go along with it and talk to, you know, and talk to this person. Not my middle schooler, one of the parents. Schoolers. Anyway, but the thing that was so helpful that I'm so grateful for is the practice of not believing the story. And because if I sit with it long enough, two things happen that I saw. One is people view me in a certain way in the community, and so I represent practice. Which I hate, you know, I like to hide out near the monastery, but as I've become a community member in Murphy's, and people think I know stuff, even though, you know, I don't really, but they project that I do. So if I were to believe a story and have a conversation, I am vulnerable to the habit of righteousness. Especially when it comes to my kid, because you know my whole middle school life is being triggered, and so my vulnerability is to, in a really pseudo Zen way, kill the parents of the kids who are harming. But they're not even harming her. That's the thing.
Right.
They're harming me.
Right.
They're bringing up my stuff. So, So anyway, it's fascinating to watch, and I have to stay really, really, I mean, twice a day meditation at the minimum, and just pray to God for help, because it really is really, really important. It's important for me and my heart. It's important for my daughter, so that she doesn't know any of the story. I mean, it's been a few weeks. She doesn't know any of the story in my head. And for my friends who I love, who are doing the very best they can.
Yeah, well, it's almost like you're protecting everybody from conditioning.
It feels like it. It feels, and it's well, the image that comes is, you know, the fighting the sword master, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And staying really present. And then that story, that Zen story that you probably remember that I can't remember very well, but where the guy comes after the Zen master and, or I don't know, the sick old person, or anyway, and the bad guy pulls the sword and says, you know, I've got the power to... You tell the story, because I'm telling it. I'm making up a Christian Zen story, probably.
Is it the heaven and hell story?
Well, it's the one where he says, I have the power to kill you, aren't you afraid of me, or something, and she says, or go ahead and stab me because I have the power. I can't remember the story, so if somebody remembers it, please tell in a minute. But it does feel that way, that if I stay really present, even if I'm killed.
It's that freedom again.
It's the freedom. It's the freedom. And I've got to stay really close to talking, you know, the reflective listening,
yeah.
the being here at the monastery, which of course I haven't been for a while, and recording and listening, because in a heartbeat I can start believing it, because it subtly comes in and uses Zen language. And
you need to do something.
Really, you just need to say this one thing. Yeah, I do! But then it's not one thing. Then it turns into the whole story, right? I get to live out my seventh grade year, Alex.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're weathering your own storm.
I am weathering the storm. But I didn't have tools then. You know, I didn't have, I couldn't hear them. And I do now. I do have tools now, you know, reassurances.
Well, knowing that you're projecting and
knowing
that you're adequate, you knowing that other people are adequate.
And truly seeing, it's really good. God gave me my first 13-year-old who's somewhat kind of oblivious of stories, actually. Which makes my story even harder because she's oblivious. Well, didn't you? And what did they? And she's just like, Mom, I don't know. I'm like, oh, why am I asking? Because then I become agitated. But I try not to in front of her. But so it's really divine intervention because there's no mirror. Mm-hmm. My third child, I'm quite sure there's going to be a mirror of the stories and all, you know. But in Clara, there's just a lot of the time, mostly today, just doing the next thing, kind of confused. Well, I don't know why that person didn't say hi to me. Must have been having a bad day. And I'm like, oh no, she's really snobby, and she thinks she's popular, and blah, let me just give you information that I have.
Well, you just sit there with, well, at least I know what that's like for me.
Exactly. But thank God, right? Uh-huh. I know what it's like for me. Mm-hmm. I know that it isn't true, that it's just a story today. Before, without this practice, I would believe it was true, and that the really, really kind mom thing to do is to condition her heavily. Right?
Yeah,
isn't
well, it's
a
like
crazy
turn to that
system?
Authority.
Turn to that authority, believe the story,
like
tell her.
Like the authority that other people project onto you, and it's really, the reality is, it's like, we really don't know.
Right,
you know,
we
it's
don't.
Like, it's like Clara,
no.
She's just like, I don't know, and she's probably right.
Right. Right.
That's the like Zen perspective.
Like, she says to me, Mom, I just want to be friends with people who like me for who I am. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Claire, let me just... That's something. <I'm> you want to be friends, and you want to be well-liked, and you want people to gossip, and you want to gossip about them. Oh, God.
Everything we want for our children.
Pardon?
Everything we want for our children.
Right! So, I'll just you know, keep breathing and saying out loud and buckling, you know, really going under in the boat is crucial for me right now, because my mentor, Jesus, knows how to drive that boat, right?
Yeah, it's that metaphor you're describing. You don't know how to do it.
But I don't know how to do it. And if I run up to the stern and say, ah, you know, we would crash really, really quickly. Really quickly. So that's all that's up.
That's it,
Alex.
Thank you. Jen?
Just quickly, I found it probably like a year or so ago now. My niece, who was, seven or eight at the time, they had this, you know, little bit of free time in their classroom, and so they could just do whatever. So she wrote this thing. And her teacher sent it home for my sister to see. And it was just this unbelievable paragraph about dear people. And she went on to say, she was using the word natural. Please just be natural. Some people are mean and some people are nice. And people will try to make you feel such and such way. But if you just like your life, I promise you'll be happy. I mean, she just went on in this paper, and I was just blown away. Huh. And it was, the funniest part was that I watched myself want to make this really kind of big deal about it. You know, like, oh my gosh. And I saw her, I don't know, a few months later, and I asked her about it. She had no memory of it. You know, she just sat down and wrote this thing, and all she went. Mm-hmm. And I have it. You know, it's just, it's such a good reminder to me of it. It's just this incredible wisdom. And of course, you know, I want to make this, as I said, make this meaning out of it.
Yes.
You know, like, actually, I've watched this with every one of my nieces and nephews. I think I talked about this recently, but I, you know, I don't have children of my own, so I've never seen the process close up. But I caught on with like the fourth, fifth, sixth one. I always think they're geniuses. Oh my God, is it normal for a 4-year-old to be able to? That's amazing. It's just this, it's just life doing life. And as a, it seems like as a conditioned human, I look at it and I'm just marvel, you know, at that process. And you know, I want to make her into like this prodigy of, wow, she's just got this amazing thing. But I just hold it there as this, you know, this reminder to me. Just the simplicity of what's so.
Yeah. That maybe all kids are geniuses. And that it's sort of some
it's just
point.
There.
Yeah.
It's like we started out the morning with them, and all the stuff gets layered.
Layered on top of it, on top of it. Yeah, yeah. And our desire to make something out of it, or make it mean something, or
yeah.
And just okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Storm and sort of how to be in the storm. I've been noticing for myself really the best thing to do is just kind of go with it. As people were talking earlier, I was thinking about really long time ago, I was a whitewater raft guide. And it regularly happened that people would fall out of the boat. And so it's not exactly a storm, but it's the kind of equivalent. And what you're told to do is basically to relax. You have to keep your feet up so you don't get your feet caught in the bottom of the river and this terrible thing happens. But as long as you keep your as long as you keep your feet up and point them downstream and don't fight it, just go with it. And you're gonna go under occasionally, but you'll come back up. Everybody's got a life jacket on. And then, you know, at some point, the rapid will be over, and you'll come out into, like, a smooth place. And then you can swim to the side. And that seemed like a pretty good way to go.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that as people were talking, because that really is my experience with the kind of the interior storms that happen. There really aren't any exterior storms. You know, it's all happening inside here. But just to, you know, the instantaneous programming is to fight it in some way.
Yes.
And that, it really makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's like getting your feet caught up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is kind of. Yeah, I had thought of that. But, you know, just try to stop your forward progress. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what happens in rafting is your feet get caught and then you go under and you can't get back out. Yeah, but just to relax, and it really works. It's there's some story, and I can't remember what it is, but something like that where somebody talks about like being in a waterfall or something, and just kind of just rolling with it, and it really does. It comes out okay. It always does, and it always comes out good. Actually, it always always come out the other side, having had an experience of that's helpful, and that. Is really, for my benefit, and that I really appreciate working with. But the fighting it, it really takes all that away. You know, the tension is so involved in resisting what's going on.
Yeah, just even picture in the water, it's just like fighting it as you should, all your attention is on that, rather than just relaxing and going along with it and coming out on the other side, and trusting that that's what's going to happen.
There was this guy, who was kind of famous for being crazy. He would swim the rapids on purpose. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he survived. But he did this. He did this a lot. Well, he would put on two wetsuits and fins on his feet and a helmet and stuff. And he would ride the boats in the smooth parts. And then he would jump out and he would swim the rapids. And it was amazing. I suppose that the equivalent could apply to spiritual practice also. That's what we. You know, I don't know if you can say we look forward to, but that's what it really is. What it's all about, kind of. And I think even though a lot, I always thought he was crazy. A lot of people did, but I think we all kind of admired him in a way because that's just so. You know, all the rest of us are trying to stay in the boat.
This person is intentionally going out there facing it. It's just really hard stuff and fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. I think it was probably a lot of fun for him. I mean, it was fun. It was fun for all of us to be in the rapids and because there's just the water is really violent and there's a lot of stuff happening. But it's really fun. It's not fun to just. Or it wasn't fun to like not know what you're doing at all and just kind of get thrashed all the way through it, but to understand how the water works, in an eddy, the water's actually going upstream, so you can use you could stick your paddle in the eddy and swing your boat all the way around to just different little things like that and to learn how to move, and then it becomes super fun because then you're working with the water instead of against it. And I think he probably just experienced that on a whole other level because he's not just on the surface of the water; he's going up and down and all over it. And I think that works pretty good actually as a metaphor too, because it feels like it's not like we're just going through this storm ignorantly, although we are. I mean, it's just continual.
Well, you have to pay attention to know that that's what the eddy is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I would project that's where the spirit of inquiry comes from. You're just like, okay, here's what it's doing, and now that I know that, I can. It's knowing, but in a kind of like a real live sense, because you're actually doing it, you're experiencing it.
Yeah, that's what I was, as you were saying that, so I was thinking it's experiential. Like the first time, if you don't have experience, you can't utilize the reality of what's there. But once you have the experience, it's like it's not intellectual. It's like, oh, I see.
It's almost like that's where the fun starts to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like, they use that metaphor in almost everything too. Just to remember in visual art, you needed to know how to draw something, and then you can just kind of like go off and do all that. You have the freedom after knowing all of this. I project that's probably true with any kind of sport or activity.
Do you mean like the technique?
Yeah, the technique. Knowing how to do it, they used to say the right way, but then. Then there's the freedom you got to just do, just explore and come up with, because you have that kind of experience with everything about it.
Right.
In this metaphor, it's the water, what it's doing.
Yeah, it's like you have your skills.
Yeah.
And the skills, instead of limiting you, they free you up.
They free you up, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the tools, the path.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's been my experience too, is that there's much less fear when with that kind of attitude of mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking inside with the freedom that you're talking about, and part of it is just the freedom to experience pain, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. or to go into places that are really uncomfortable or feel out of control or don't support ego. There's a certain freedom in that, you know, not needing to avoid those things.
Right.
And it's really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've often, you know, people talk about, like, mastery. Sherry occasionally will use that word. Mm-hmm. And my projection from the beginning has always been essentially the same as control. Mm-hmm. That you would have complete control over your inner experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, what if mastery is the complete, how would you say it, willingness to be completely out of control and to allow everything to move through without getting stuck to any of it.
Yeah, like, you know, as you were saying, it's like the ego wants control to make the world smaller and take things out of it so that mm-hmm. it can kind of like have exactly the way it wants it to be or has mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. And then the freedom is actually in being out of control where mm-hmm. everything is coming up. And all the possibility is there.
Right. Yeah.
And the mastery in that, wow, it's like, because it's never that the voices go away or that emotions don't arise and come up. It's just that the mastery in that is not to get stuck on any of it.
Yeah.
Not to make mm-hmm. anything out of it or cling to it or believe it or kind of what Susan's talking about is not to go along with it and act out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It seems powerful to me to consider a life in which I don't need to avoid pain. That's a much more powerful life than one where I'm afraid of pain and trying to avoid it.
Yes.
For example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where we do all these kinds of things to avoid it. It's...
Or you know, and everything goes along with that. You know, looking bad. Uh-huh. Being identified or not being like successful in some way in the way the condition defines that.
Right.
Feeling good about myself in the way the conditioning defines that in a conditional way. You know, all those kind of things. But to not have those be a part of the equation in sort of how, it's not really how I'm choosing to live my life, because it doesn't really feel like there's an I choosing to live my life in that place, but like that's not a part of what's being considered in how this life is progressing.
Right.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, not to have your life be evaluated almost in that way, as a way of seeing how it's progressing based on those kinds of things like how you're doing or measuring success.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the freedom in that is that maybe those things aren't actually even part of the equation.
Right. Yeah. But they don't need to be considered.
They don't need to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Cameron.
Well, that brought up for me a time when I was trying to put myself in a place where I would be out of control so I would have that experience. But within that situation, I tried to get whatever control I could have. Mm-hmm. So I was on a river rafting trip, and I was terrified of the kayak experience because, you know, I thought that it would be possible to tip upside down, and then you can't get out because that thing's right around you, you know, and going down the river upside down, you know, banging your head on rocks and stuff, was just horror. I just had this horror of being under the water and not being able to get up out of the water. So the first day we were going to get on the river, there were kayaks, and then there was this big thing. It was like a big rubber boat with a flat top, and it carried all the food and all the gear, you know, it was like a barge. I said, I'll go on that. So that seemed like a way to avoid the problem of getting in the kayak. And, you know, I thought, I'll start slow and I'll get on the barge. So I sat right up in front. And the first rapids we hit, I popped right out of the boat in front of the boat, so that when I tried to get up out of the water, I came up and there was this boat above me. It's exactly what I was afraid of, getting under the water and not being able to get up. And this all happened in slow motion, you know, so I'm in the water, I was on the boat, thinking I was on a barge, you know, no problem. Suddenly I'm under the water, I'm trying to get up, and the boat is there. The next thing, I see the air, and there's somebody who just pops me, you know, grabs me and throws me on the boat. And it was like 2 seconds in my whole life I had flashed, you know, the whole experience that I was trying to control myself not to have, I had. And it was like, oh, well, okay. I guess we're done with that now. Now I can go ahead and, yeah, so it was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very fortunate that you had that experience of, you know, being really, having a story about how it would be really horrible having it all in slow motion and it was just like that, and now it's behind you. You've had that experience.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, it was interesting to see how I was trying not to have that experience, and even though I was trying the best I could to not have that experience, the universe said, well,
guess what?
You know, you don't need to avoid experiences. You need to see that you're adequate, or whatever might be the universe's explanation of it. But it was actually kind of funny that... The first rapids I just popped right out. It's like, I don't even know how it happened, really. I was holding on and everything. I think the universe did it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Jean.
It seems like part of my karma, this karma, is to spend a lifetime run aground. My ship is the sand. And the choice is to stay there. It would be very easy to just push off and get back out, but it's comfortable there. And I'm there's a lot of judgment that this person has that karma, that I can get caught in. I'm not caught in it right now. Really, what I'm realizing is that that's the storm for this person. Being stuck in the, having run aground and making the choice to stay there. Mm-hmm. That's the storm. And being in that place, thinking of, let's see if the metaphor gets too thick here. You know, getting back into life, into action, risking getting out there. That's not the storm. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I'm running around, that looks like the storm.
Yeah. Right, that getting back out there is the storm.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's life. That's where the juice is. Mm-hmm. There's the comfort, quote-unquote, the safety, quote-unquote, of having run aground is just illusion. It's just, you know, they'll come day where there will be regret for having chosen that.
Mm-hmm. Is that part of the storm? That you've chosen to... That you're a ship, or you're a boat, and that you're on the ground now, or on the sand, and are choosing not to go back out to sea.
Yeah, that is technically the storm for this person. That's the danger.
The danger.
Yeah, is staying stuck in the sandbar. Mm-hmm.
Staying stuck in the sandbar. For life. And there's something wrong with that. Because you're not, yes, you're choosing not to go back out there.
Yeah. Well, there's just, it's a dead. There's no opportunity in it. There's no possibility in it. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's just, there's no choosing. Wrong? No, not really. But kind of ungrateful in a way. Just the knowledge. I mean, a lot of people, I suppose, are on their little ships all their life and everywhere. If there's anything else to do, but just whatever. At least those, the fortune, you know, it's fortunate for us to have some view that there's more possibility, more is possible, something else is possible.
That we're fortunate to be able to have that experience, that there's more that's possible.
Yeah, and so when this I makes the choice to ignore, to stay stuck on the sand, in the sand, there's something ungrateful about that.
There's something ungrateful about being in the sand.
About the choice of
staying
stuck. Yeah. Let's move on. This metaphor is really binding down.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just what I've talked about here 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. There's no freedom.
There's no freedom in
there's
them,
no
in staying fun. There.
There's no life in choosing karma. Mm-hmm. That's without the metaphor.
Got it. Yeah. The choosing to stay where it is that you are because it's comfortable, but it's not really because there's something else that's possible. And you've had that experience of being out doing those other things, being
yeah, sometimes, you know, we often just get thrown out there. And my whole life right now is many hours a day looking at the subject of resistance. Everything. So I'm getting thrown out there, and if you, you know, if you're stuck in your karma, your first reaction is resistance. Mm-hmm. And I'll use, you know, the word I there, and it's just, there's suffering in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so sometimes you find yourself thrown out there. And the immediate reaction that comes up is resistance.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just suffering. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's just caught.
It's just caught. And that's, you said when you first started, this is not your experience that you're having right now.
Right.
So there's something else going on right now.
Right now in my life, I don't feel particularly resistant or stuck. And so, gratitude. And it's good to remember, as we've been saying this morning, it's possible to be.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But that's not your experience right now. You know, there's no resistance and there's no stuckness. And so gratitude for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's our time. Thank you all.